Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking to one of the large tech companies in our local scene, that is Facebook, just understanding what's been going on within their business during this interesting time, and also just talking about some of the initiatives that they have to actually support businesses that rely on their platform to actually gain traction and actually make themselves more visible. And I'm joined today by Facebook Africa's regional director, that is Nunu Chingila, together with Glenda Ramatava, a businesswoman from Limpopo who runs Glenn's Cakes, based in Tohoyando. Nunu, greetings to you.
Thank you. Greetings to you too and to your listeners.
No. Thank you so much for joining us for today. I think a good point to, begin is to just maybe understand, before we get into some of the support that you guys are giving to businesses out there, is to perhaps just understand what Facebook has been doing in terms of operations. How are things going, during this COVID-19 period? A lot of people sitting at home and relying on platforms like Facebook to stay connected, to communicate, issues like that. So how's been that experience?
Thank you for that question. It's been a very, very interesting past few months, and our focus has been really around how do we continue to make sure that people stay connected. At the heart of what we do as Facebook, whether there's COVID or no COVID, is making sure that people can connect and making sure that we're giving them the real power to connect with their communities. And I think what we've seen during COVID is that that has been an even bigger issue. If you just look at products like video calling, we know we are connecting on video because we can't be sitting in the room together, but we've seen an exponential increase in some of those products. So our first port of call as a company has been making sure that we can support communities around the world, our 3.1 billion community around the world, making sure that people continue to connect. So that has been the first thing and remains our primary goal. But at the center of the whole, that the reason why we're all sitting at home is because we have a pandemic on our hands. And that pandemic, by the way, is still with us. We're seeing good signs, but the pandemic is very much still with us as a society here in South Africa and globally. So we continue to make sure that people have access to the right level of information, correct information, and making sure that we decrease the level of misinformation on our platform. So we continue to do that, and we'll continue to do that as long as the pandemic is on. Where we are shifting towards as a company right now is a lot of businesses around the world, including our own business, has been gravely affected by COVID. Businesses have shut. In some instances, operations have slowed down. So where we're shifting towards right now is how do we take part in the economic recovery of businesses. Businesses like small businesses, those have been, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, have been at the center of the pandemic in terms of being the worst affected by COVID. We've seen small businesses close. We've seen small businesses having to let people go. We've seen small businesses, some of them we don't think that they'll be able to recover. So what we've been doing very recently is being really trying to be at the forefront of the recovery of small businesses. So that's why we are supporting, with this grant that we've put together, we're supporting small businesses in South Africa, work through what recovery looks for them, how do they recover, how do they rebuild their businesses, so that they can be up and running again.
As you put it, yes, we did have that engagement a few weeks ago. And at the time, you were just highlighting some of the research that your company was doing, in and around how small businesses have been affected. So in terms of, issuing that type of support to businesses, because I think, one thing that people may or may not know about the company is the fact that as much as, you know, over 2 billion people use the platform to connect, that there are a number of businesses on the platform that are using it to actually do business, to communicate with each other and the like. So in terms of offering that support, what have been some of the steps taken and how is that feeding, I guess, from the global to the local side of things?
Internationally, what we did is we decided at some point we really do need to support small businesses, and we launched what we called a grants program globally. So what the grants program said at a global level is that we're looking at least to make sure that through advertising and through cash grants, we'll be able to support small businesses. What does it mean for us here in South Africa? Last week, Thursday, we announced that same grants program that it will open here in South Africa. So what we are offering here in South Africa is about 8.5 million rand to eligible small businesses. We think that by the time we've done, we will cover close to 217 small businesses. Again, what we're offering them is a grant or slash advertising credits. We really, really are hoping that by the time we close this Saturday, the grants program does close this Saturday, that we'll have a lot of small businesses that have been able to apply and hopefully be awarded this grant, as I said, to be able to rebuild, re-engineer, and recover their small businesses that have been so greatly affected by COVID.
Perhaps before we switch over to one of those businesses, how do people actually get in touch with you guys if they want to apply? You said the applications are closing, you know, very soon. How do they actually get in on that?
You can definitely go into our website, facebook.com, and go to business, and you'll be asked if you're South African. And of course, if you're South African businesses, you go to the South African part of that portion and you apply. We're hoping that businesses that qualify, this should be a business that has been in operation for a year. You have to be at least employing two people, anything between 2 and 50 people. And of course, you don't have to be operating on Facebook. You don't have to have Facebook. You don't have to have Instagram. As long as you're a small business that's operating in this market, we'll be able to consider you. And that's the criteria. You just go into Facebook and you apply, and we will sit through all the applications. And of course, the ones that qualify will go through and be given the grant that they require. We close this Saturday at 5. By 6 p.m., we hope that all the applications will be through. And if you get onto that site is not only in English. We support isiZulu, isiXhosa, isiPedi, nesiSotho. So you choose the language that you want to apply in, and we'll be able to help you.
Okay, cool. So I think that allows us to then switch over and talk to Glenda. As I said at the start, we are also joined by Glenda Ramatava, who is a businesswoman from Limpopo, running Glenn's Cakes based in Thohoyando. Glenda, greetings to you. And I guess as we begin, can you just give us some insights into your business?
More of a business that was founded from the basis of training women who are unemployed. However, we realized that training women who are unemployed would also be a challenge for us in terms of financing such a business model. So we operate a store in Thohoyando. We've got a shop, and in that shop we sell baking supplies and equipment. And we also offer classes over and above that, which is our bread and butter. We supply bakes and wedding cakes, being the focus or the primary, the biggest contributor to our revenue streams. And with the lockdown, that has been a big knock to us, in the sense that we can't have big weddings as we normally used to, which, yeah, it's been a struggle, but we're surviving.
And I guess with that in mind, how did you get involved with Facebook, or how did Facebook get involved with you?
I started off being on Facebook as a social media tool, when it was more on a personal level, a way to connect with friends, family, everywhere. And then when I started my business in 2015, I registered my business page. And since then, I mean, my business has grown. And then I think the growth comes from Facebook in the sense that from day one to today, we've got 10,000 followers. I get most of my business from Facebook, and their ads are affordable. Unlike if I'm to go to a radio and put up an ad, given the fact that we are in Limpopo, it's a bit more rural, unlike being in Joburg. So you'd find that when we put up radio ads, they become quite pricey. But when I put up an ad on Facebook, it's affordable, from 100 rand, from 50 rand, and the reach is quite broad, which translates to more returns for me, because from one ad, I could actually get 5 to 10 orders, which then covers my advertising spend.
That's actually that actually sounds very encouraging, and it's quite nice to hear an example of someone who's actually benefiting from this, because most of the time some of these things do sound you know, a bit abstract. I guess for you, because it does sound like you've almost completely I guess embraced what it means to run a business. You know, what it means to run a business on the side of online, you know, using the ads, having a Facebook page, that sort of thing. What are some of the tips that you'd give to someone to actually grow their business using a platform like Facebook?
And then
the other one on that front is for other people that are also trying to get into it, what do you think are some of the points where people actually do struggle? Because you were talking just now about the fact that because you're an accountant, you're able to, you know, weigh out, you know, the risk, the rewards, costs, benefits, that type of thing. For other people that may still, even now, we hear that COVID-19 and the pandemic has forced people to get more online, but even now some people are still reluctant to actually do this thing. What are some of the things that you think are actually holding people back? Because yes, there's you know, data costs are still a thing, but outside of those normal things, what are some of the things still holding people back from actually doing their businesses online?
More about having their banking details online, or having to pay for something online, where they have to put in their card details and their CV numbers. I think that puts people off. But again, with Facebook, what it has enabled us to do is that you can have a platform wherein your sale can be completed on Facebook, but the final transaction, being the payment part of it, can be done outside of Facebook platform. environment where either you or your client feel safe to transact with, and it removes that fear of transacting online. And again, being comfortable with using Facebook, I think the one thing that people are scared of is also that fear of the unknown. With Facebook ads, the moment you see an ad or it asks you to boost a post, most people tend to think, if I boost this, it will be a cost, it will be recurring, they will want my bank details and my banking details are not safe. But up until now, I've not had an instance wherein my banking details were defrauded or shared with any external parties. Everything had been very upfront in the sense that whatever amount that they tell you the ad will cost, it's exactly what you pay. There are no hidden costs, there are no hidden agendas, there are no foreign exchange or currency related issues that one has to worry about. Everything is still in rands. Like, for instance, a transaction will be translated into rands immediately when you transact. So there's no surprise, there are no hidden issues there. It's quite open and it's very easy and user-friendly. If people are scared of using it or trying it, they can try it for lesser amounts and see if it works or not work for them. But so far for me, it has been one of the most affordable tools for me to get my business out there and to reach a wider audience.
And then because you are on Facebook and you are using the ads, I'm sure you've been then able to actually, see, what type of reactions and engagement you get. Typically, what type of customers do you have, or, who actually comes in to buy from Glenda? Like, who are your customers? Who are your people? And then lastly, it does sound as if, your business has gone through quite an interesting time. There's been the pandemic. At the same time, there's been your involvement with Facebook and then increasing your foot traffic, like you were talking about earlier on. How much of that do you think is in reaction to what was going on with lockdowns, etc., versus how much is likely just going to be how your business will be running, for the rest of life, do you think?
Yeah, COVID has forced us to literally get out of our comfort zone. Really now, most of the things that we do, we tend to think we need to be more online. We need to increase our online presence. We need to have an e-commerce platform. We need to be reachable online via social media, be it the internet. We need to be available. Because the walk-in client is unable to come to us as and when they want to. We've got limitations in terms of the number of people that can be at our store at any given point in time. We've got limitations in terms of the number of people that can attend our classes. So it has forced us to really think about our business long-term. But the one thing that we're grateful for this COVID pandemic, which sometimes for some people it may be like, why would you be grateful for this pandemic? It's that it forced us to be compliant, to the rule, to the rules and regulations affecting our business. I mean, there were so many things that we're putting aside, saying to ourselves, we'll get to it. I mean, things like being our SARS compliance was okay because counting numbers are more of the things that I do. But they were always more like putting things aside, saying, we'll get to it. Our UIF compliance, I mean, when COVID hit and we realized, we'll struggle to even be paying some of our staff members, that's when we realized, is our UIF submissions up to date? And then that's when we realized, no, some were not, but then we at least got an opportunity to update everything, make sure that we find all our certificates that we need. We needed to make sure that they're in place. So that is the one thing that COVID had actually forced us to really, really be compliant, to be in terms of compliance. And the other thing is also that with what we do now, we always think, you know what, when you're posting something on social media, there's a way of posting it. You need to be taking your pictures in a certain angle. You need to be posting posts that are engaging, that will make people want to know more about your product. And those are things that we'll be taking with us going forward. Even post the pandemic, post the lockdown, should we get to level one, say, on the 15th of September, we'll still be doing most of the things that we're compelled to do because of the lockdown into the future, because we've seen that it has benefits to us.
So that's been us with Glenda Ramatava, who is a businesswoman from Limpopo, running Glenn's Cakes based in Thohoyandou, just giving us some insights into what's been like running her business during the lockdown period, and as things are starting to open up, and some of the changes that have been forced onto the business, and the fact that she's been able to actually leverage her presence on social media, particularly on Facebook, to be able to grow her business. We started off at the beginning talking to Nunu Chingila, who is Facebook Africa's regional director, just giving us some insights into, firstly, how operating the business has been during the COVID-19 pandemic, some of the insights that they've been able to see through their user base, particularly small businesses that rely on the platform to be able to transact and interact with their customers. And also just talking about some of the support that they've been able to give. They recently announced a grant of 8.5 million rand to support around 217 small businesses in the country as part of a $100 million global grants program that the company has been embarking on an international level. Glenda, how can people get in touch with you? How can they find you online?
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite an interesting discussion with the team from Facebook. Thank you to Nunu for just talking to us. It's quite cool to see businesses looking to see how they can support a big or substantial part of their user base, particularly around small businesses, because at the end of the day, without users, without businesses buying ads, for example, a platform like Facebook can't have the market power or dominance that it does have. So it's this win-win sort of situation where in helping to support the businesses, Facebook also helps to spur its own business, and it just it's a good example of why it is important to have responsible corporate social responsibility, because that then helps your bottom line at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, people, each person doing their part, people can actually come together and actually move forward. And it was was also cool to hear about Glenda's story. She, you can just hear from her that she's definitely embraced what it means to operate your business using social, leveraging social media, and also just embracing what it means to have that online presence and e-commerce and all of that, and having more than 10,000 people as part of a page, you know, particularly in a small town like Thohoyandou in Limpopo. That's actually quite amazing. And the fact that now she's getting all of that traction in a city like Johannesburg, it just shows the power of social media and that inclusiveness that it's able to, that it's able to grow. We hear a lot over this, over this lockdown period about people, you know, having to switch their businesses to e-commerce, to online. But actually hearing and seeing a tangible example of how someone is actually using this and actually growing it and is actually able to use insights. People talk a lot about data analytics, for example, but in just listening to Glenda, you can hear she knows who her actual customer is, the things that people are interested in, and the engagements that people want to have with her and her business. So very fascinating. It would be good to catch up with both Facebook and Glenda at a later stage. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And you can also find us on Twitter. That's hashtag BD Spotlight. Remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Didi Mashamaite. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Otherwise, this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.